Are you like me? Are you tired of wearing uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under your sweater? You got to check out Collars & Co., the makers of the dress collar polo. So the shirts, they're four-way stretch, they're buttery soft polos, but with firm dress collars on them. So they give you the dress shirt look, but an extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them under your sweater, your blazer, or by themselves. They're great for the office. They're great for the golf course. They're great for a night out. Dan Orlovsky over at ESPN wears these. They look sharp. You don't want to wear shirts that you bought at a sporting goods store to work or out on a date. These shirts are exploding. The brand has gone viral on social media. They received a $1 million investment from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones on Shark Tank. It's because of those collars. They don't flop down. They don't spread out like a 1970s disco collar. They stay firm. They stay sharp all day. They're one less thing to worry about. If you're looking for a performance dress shirt or a polo that looks great all day, you got to check out collarsandco.com. Use the promo code VANITY for 15% off any purchase of $100 or more. Again, that's collarsandco, C-O-L-L-A-R-S, and co.com. Use the promo code VANITY, 15% off purchase of $100 or more.
Hey guys, it's Erica. Just a quick programming note. We recorded this a little earlier than normal today before the news of Norm McDonald's death broke, and we will be discussing it next week. So for those who don't know, Norm McDonald, iconic comedian and, you know, famous SNL anchor, he passed away at 61 after a battle with cancer. So we will be getting to that next week. But in the meantime, enjoy some laughs.
Oh yeah, it's a four pre-roll type of day, starting off with our favorite podcast. Not our podcast, it's the Modern Finance Podcast.
I NFTs love that one.
Here for the long haul. Anthony wants to know, is cryptocurrency a fad? Find out on the Modern Finance Podcast hosted by Kevin Rose.
It is.
He looks to answer these questions and more about the investment marketplace. Listen to Modern Finance and get ahead of the future of finance. That's Modern Finance wherever you listen to podcasts.
Modern Finance. Modern Finance. What'd you say?
I said Modern Finance. It did come out a little funny.
Yeah, we better clear it up.
I know. I want to get these right. I want to spell them all right. I want to pronounce them right.
If you want to give a truly meaningful gift this year, you got to try paintyourlife.com. Take any photo you love and get a custom portrait painting done by a world-class artist. Right now, get 20% off your painting and free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word VANITY to 64,000, 64,000. Text VANITY to 64,000 for 20% off and free shipping. Keeps is back. Guys, if you're ready to prevent hair loss, go to KEEPS.com/JRVP to receive your first month of treatment for free. Ignore those Gronk ads on TV. Go to KEEPS.com/JRVP to get your first month for free. KEEPS.com/JRVP for help with your hair. Finally, Fight Camp. They've been our most loyal sponsor all year long. You can measure your progress while learning how to fight like a real boxer. Fight Camp brings the boxing gym home to you. Plus, Fight Camp offers free shipping with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Just go to fightcamp.com/vanity to get free shipping on Fight Camp. Go to joinfightcamp.com/vanity. That's joinfightcamp.com/vanity.
That was good. Better. That was
I've done
perfect.
Worse. We've got some twerking at a hospital. We've got our favorite bodily function and a syringe filled with semen, all coming up on episode 122 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Yes, I have had Rummy checked for worms. I am the groom of the stool.
What is that? Just like, what is the groom of the stool? What does that even mean?
Well, I'm glad you asked. First of all, Erica, when she sent me questions for Erica's Corner, put in a thing, Rummy's Poop Corner, saying, have you had Rummy check for worms? That sounds like worms, which he's got. And yes, of course, I've had him checked for worms. But I was talking to my dog walker today, dog trainer slash dog walker, when she came over. And Rummy had diarrhea this morning. Rummy, yesterday, I'm watching football. I'm all excited. I got the NFL all planned out. I take Rummy out in the morning. We run around. And then I get home in time for football. Have a couple beers. Order some fried chicken from a nearby place. Fall asleep. Wake up. Chicken's gone. Chicken is... I got like a bucket of chicken. It's gone. Where Rummy throughout the day is like walking around. He's hidden the chicken all over the place. And has been like pulling it out. I've got to get it away from him.
Where did you, where did this you morning leave it?
On the coffee table, right in front of the TV. I just took a nap on the couch in between games, and he grabbed pieces and hid them around the house and ate a little bit of it. But this morning at 7 a.m., I hear him whining downstairs, and I know that means he's got to poop, but I'm just too tired. I'm getting up at 9, not 7, and then I woke up to just piles of poop in the bedroom, and cleaned it up, got him out. He went and walked. He's good now. But I saw the thing, check him for worms, and the my dog walker had said that back in the day, back when like kings were kings, you know what I'm saying? Back when kings ruled the castle, they would have a groom of the stool that would look at the king's poop and tell them if they were healthy or not. And she's like, you're the groom of the stool, you know? You got to look at the poop and see what the problem is. And I am the groom of the stool. It's a fact.
I mean,
I cleaned it up.
This whole like dog owning experience just a way to humble yourself? It's almost like my life is too easy as a rich single white man in America in like 2020 that I need something to bring me down to earth. I need some sort of obstacles to overcome because ultimately, like, you know, I have nothing in my way right now.
It was either this or buy a series of turtles that I kill. And I don't have that in me. You know what I mean? I don't have it in me to just kill a series of turtles. I got the dog. I'm in for the long term. People keep returning their dogs that they got during the pandemic. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm keeping this dog until he dies from diarrhea.
It's one of the most common causes of death, you know, for people and dogs.
Diarrhea.
I mean, it's up there. I mean, in the course of human history, there's definitely been a lot of dying when it comes to diarrhea. I don't need a fact check on this, but I feel like you're
simplifying hard. I think technically you're sort of right. Dysentery maybe might be what I'm looking for here. But this ain't the Oregon Trail, Greg. This ain't the Oregon Trail. If I can just, you know, let people know about one fact that we can give them, is that it's not the Oregon Trail. But I am the groom of the stool. Those are two facts. How was everyone's 9/11? 20th anniversary? Big time. Big time stuff. Did you guys do anything special? I assume Erica was unhealthy in some way.
No, it was just relaxed and, you know, took the day to reflect.
I mean, yeah, you reflected just like on the Taliban. Back when you were like... not 9 years old. You know, we had to talk about it, you know, at work on our shows.
Really?
Well, they wanted us to like can you do a 9/11 like segment, you know, kind of talk about. And we were doing our first 2-hour broadcast for our the Around the NFL show. And, you know, we were younger then. We didn't have, like, a person, like, a, yeah, of course we all had our experiences, but we've heard a lot this week, and it didn't feel like it was totally our bag. I suggested a workaround where our great friend Lakeisha Jackson, who you know, had produced, like, a little segment, and we just threw it to that, and then came back.
It wasn't
back.
A segment. Like, she went to New York and did a whole feature, and it wasn't
right,
like...
there was many of them, but you know, the listeners don't need those details necessarily. But yeah, we sort of begged out of it, which
I think
you
called
was
it
the right
a little segment. It was like a big thing.
Yeah, let me tell you something.
It was 2.5 minutes. You clearly didn't watch our show.
Of course I did.
Listen, everybody watches Around the NFL. let me tell you something right now. 20 years, let's get over it. It's in the rear view. We're done. We all remember where we were on 9/11. It's been 20 years. We're cool. Those planes, in the past 20 years would have crashed anyway. That's what I say. They would have crashed by
that
now.
That was just, that was what you were setting us up for here?
No, I'm just, Nielsen,
what
I'm,
did you
I'm
do?
Flying off
what
the
did
cuff.
You do? What did you do on 9/11?
I did a show.
What was it, Saturday?
It was Saturday. I did a show and forgot it was 9/11. Totally forgot. I'm not going to watch. People are like, oh, go watch CNN and see like the replay of that day. I'm like, why would you want to do that? I went and did a show and I'd forgot until I was about to go and I saw a tweet being like, you got to see Jessel like do comedy on 9/11. And I was like, oh, yeah, I have 9/11 jokes, but I can't remember any of them. What I do love about 9/11 jokes, I've had them in my act for most of my hours. And in America, it's kind of like an ooh. Like, we laugh because it's like a good joke. But when I go to Canada or I go to Europe, they go fucking apeshit. Like, they love those jokes that I think is just so funny.
Why?
That it's like, it's truly a joke to them. And what I think is funny about 9/11 now, and again, horrible tragedy day of. I remember that day. I was 22 years old. Or 21. I was about, no, 22. About to turn 23. But what I love is that kids who have grown up since then think it's funny. Like, it's funny to say Bush did 9/11 when you're a kid who did not live through it or lived through it at a time where you were too young to understand. It's almost like the Challenger disaster or some horrible tragedy that now you can laugh about because you don't remember it and don't weren't affected by it the way Steve Renazzisi was, you know?
I mean, Erica was like 9. Yeah, we were roommates at the time, Anthony, in LA. I was not with you, really. I ignored...
No, you were moving into our apartment that we lived in that weekend or that week.
It was scary as a 9-year-old. Nobody had answers. They were like keeping. I remember they like shut all the lights off in our classroom, and it was like quiet time. And we were. Like, I was 9. And then, like, the principal came and got some kid because his parents were there, like, because New York's only a 4-hour drive from where we live, so it was, like, easy to be, you know, in and out. And then I remember going home and seeing the news, and my parents, like, they didn't know what was going on, but I was, like, as a kid, I was like, what the fuck is happening here?
But, yeah. See, at almost 23, Greg and I had all the answers. We knew as soon as I got back to L.A. from New Orleans, where I was when 9/11 happened, we hashed it out and chopped it up, and we were good. It was
you weren't in L.A. I do remember this better than you because I mean I was at Hallway Pictures, the new office that they moved to.
Mm-hmm.
I drove into work even though the towers had already fallen by the time I left for work. I didn't know. I had a voicemail on my phone, and I just, you know, I woke up at the last minute as always and just like raced to this terrible office building. And Paul Hall, it was like a rare time where he was actually coming into the city, and he told me, and, you know, when I went into the office, I found out, you know, from the internet, and then Paul Hall like told me to meet him downstairs at Starbucks. This is, you know, a very successful black, you know, Hollywood producer. You know, he did Shaft, did all this stuff. I'm his assistant. And he, like, sits me down at Starbucks, and he's, like, really shaken up. And I'm just, like, an idiot. And I'm just like, so you want me to get those scripts for you? You know, and it's just like, and I couldn't, like, get out of the mode where I was, like, a dumb 22, 23-year-old being nervous in front of, like, my boss who usually didn't give me any face-to-face time. And he couldn't have, like, been more annoyed that I was the person that he was first, like, talking about this with. And after like 5 minutes, was just like, all right, man, you can go home, and just like, and just left. Cause then I realized being like, oh, you didn't really understand in the moment what was happening.
Sure. I mean, we'd only been in LA for a couple of months and I could not find a job. So I went to New Orleans to visit my girlfriend. I went to visit my girlfriend and I was supposed to fly back on 9/11. And she woke me up in the morning and said, we're under attack. They've flown a plane into the World Trade Center, a plane into the Pentagon. There's more planes out there. We're under attack. And I did not believe her. I was like, yeah, 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 and went back to sleep. And then I could hear CNN in the other room, and I could hear what was going on. I was like, holy shit. And then got up, went out, watched the footage that day. We hung out, and I was like, it was just terrifying. You're hearing planes fly over, like military planes. So every time you'd hear something, you'd be like, oh, my God. And then my girlfriend had to work in the French Quarter that night at a bar, bartending. And I went with her to, I forget what the name of the bar was. I want to say Razoo's, but that's not right. It was some weird bar, and people who were stuck in New Orleans because they were there for like a business trip or something, like went out in the French Quarter. So there were people like trying to dance to shitty music, and the DJ's like, "Don't let the terrorist win. Everybody keep having a good time tonight." And I'm just sitting at the bar getting wasted until 4 a.m. while my girlfriend worked in tended bar and then went home and was stuck in New Orleans for a couple days and then got back to LA because I like knew I needed to get a job and couldn't just wait and sit around New Orleans. But it was a
Were you scared to fly?
No, not at all. What I was annoyed about, what was scary, was flying into St. Louis and having a layover and then having that canceled. And being stuck in St. Louis, the St. Louis airport, by myself. And when I say by myself, I mean the employees are gone. There's no one there except for me. And I have the run of the entire airport. And I'm just walking around trying to sleep. It's bright as shit. It's freezing cold. And I cannot sleep anywhere that I lost my mind. Over 24 hours, I just went crazy. And I'm sure I've told this story before, but I remember like being just sitting in the airport. Couldn't find anywhere to go and rest my head, and I've lost it. And I see the next day, they're starting to fly again. And there is a guy, a janitor comes with a waxer, and he's waxing the floor in front of me for an hour. I'm just like zoned out staring at this guy, and then he leaves. And within 5 minutes, I see a pilot, gray, silver-haired, older guy, dressed to the nines, like in his uniform. He's had it pressed. He's like, "I'm going to do my duty for the country." And he walks with his hat under his arm, like military style. And as he walks right in front of me, his right foot flies out because he's walking on a waxed floor. And he eats shit so hard in front of me.
Oh my God.
That I started laughing. It was the first time I'd laughed like since 9/11 happened, that I was just dying laughing. This pilot jumps up and keeps walking. And I'm like, okay, we're going to be all right. We're going to be okay if I can laugh at this pilot eating shit that I loved. But I got back at like 9:13 and came back to the apartment that Greg and I had moved into. Greg moved our stuff with Chris Nelson. And they had, I don't know if you were a part of this, but Chris had friends over. And they were just smoking pot and watching 9/11 footage 24/7 the entire time. And I remember getting there and being like, thank God I was not here for this. Because this looks more unpleasant than being in one of the buildings
when
9/11 happened. It looked so awful. And I was like, thank God this is over. But it was a weird time. And I'm glad it's been 20 years and that I don't think about it quite as much.
No, it was awful. And that's where I went after Paul Hall told me to go home. Was
you went
it,
to the,
it wasn't our apartment out? But it was Chris's, yes, our mutual friend who, you know, Anthony used to work at the Gap with, yeah, to where they were all hanging out for the day. And I do remember it being, you know, one of the worst things ever. I don't think my friendship with Chris has ever recovered.
Really?
I'm joking.
That would be a deal breaker.
It was a bummer of a day, and I definitely wasn't the first or the last time during that year.
A bummer of a day.
I'm never saying forget. all I could. It wasn't the first or the last time during that year that I thought, "Why am I here right now? Why am I here doing this with these people right now? Like, I'm not in the right place. This is all terrible. What is happening in the world? Like, I don't know what I should be doing, but whatever it is not sitting with this group getting high." I definitely think a little less of myself after that day.
I'll tell you what I think about when I think about 9/11 is
season, I was 22. I'm sorry, Mom. I was a kid.
What? Why'd you get? Mario? Why'd you go Italian? Yeah. Why you went Italian? You went full on Italian. Which honestly, I think the Italians had something to do with it. But I think of 9/11 now as the season two premiere or the season one premiere of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project. JRVP.
Junior Vice President. I remember the trailer. Mm-hmm. Cut it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 9/11 was our debut. So that's, I think that's how the nation heals, is not thinking about it as the day that 3,000 people died, a fraction of who have been killed from COVID. But I think of it more as when JRVP debuted. And I think that's how the nation should feel about it. I think there should be 51 stars on that flag. You know what I'm saying? Add another stripe. I don't give a fuck. Add another stripe for JRVP.
I think of it as the day before the day that Steve Buscemi started to go volunteer at the firehouse that he used to work at.
He didn't go day up? I thought he went day up.
Five straight days.
He went on 9/12?
Bodies. Now that's a real man.
I thought he went 9/11. I saw a thing where he was like, I still have PTSD. And I was like, really? Still? Steve? Still?
What? You doubt that? I mean, how would that not be a traumatic experience to be like, you know, with people trying to, you know, dig up bodies for 5 days? That sounds pretty traumatic.
What's traumatic about that? What? I don't buy it.
I mean, we were playing a little catch in the backyard, and I tripped over the little mound where we buried our turtle seaweed. That was like PTSD.
Seaweed's revenge. Seaweed hasn't forgotten. Never forget seaweed.
That's why I got this. That's why I got this painting from PaintYourLife.com. There's a free plug.
Whoa, save it, bro. Don't give it away for free. Other than 9/11, and I opened my set on Saturday night by saying Happy 9/11, everybody, which got a big laugh. Maybe told one old joke, which I think is one of my best 9/11 jokes of all time. If you're wondering, it's my mom actually should have been on one of the planes that crashed on 9/11, I think, which I always enjoyed doing. But yeah, I do love telling 9/11 jokes in other countries. They love it.
Well, why do you think that is? Maybe that just gave me a window into that what 9/11 is like, a little bit of a guilty pleasure in other countries. Yeah, it's like that movie you don't want to admit that you kind of enjoyed.
No, I think the world mourned 9/11 in a great way, and I do believe, and maybe this is getting political for this podcast, but I believe that the U.S. ruined that goodwill by the way they handled things after 9/11. I think if we had done things differently, the world would have loved us the way they loved us that week after 9/11, where they were all on our side. But when you go there, I think they like that it's an American making fun of 9/11 or telling a joke, that they laugh a little more. It's a harder laugh and not a, ooh, we can't believe this. Whether you're in Canada or in Europe, they get the joke because I'm telling it, I think. But I just did that one show. Did a bunch of shows this week. They were all fun. I've got Largo again this Friday. Got to have some new stuff for the monthly Largo show. And other than that, I went to a movie for the first time in over a year, like a year and a half. I went to the movie theater, and I went and saw Old. Mm. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? That M. Night Shyamalan movie. I was like, you know what? I want to go see a movie. Let's go. Went with a friend. And Old is 71 minutes long. And I was like, perfect. This movie looks like shit, but 71 minutes, I can sit there and watch that. And you know what I missed the most about movie theaters? I would never have guessed this. I didn't get popcorn. I didn't get a drink. We just like sat down and watched the movie. We were in a theater by ourselves. Like, the employees were like, really? You're coming to see Old at 4:20 on a Thursday? But I missed movie theater floors. Movie theater carpeting is the ugliest shit you've ever seen in your entire life. Every single movie theater, no matter how good or bad the movie theater is, it was just that, like, it looks like someone just puked and then took a mop and swirled it around and was like, we're good. And I missed that. Walking out, I was like, ooh, I remember this. It was a good time.
I just like being, locked in to the experience, to having no choice, to you're sitting there, especially if it's good. But also if it's like just a little bit above average, that it like locks you in a way that you won't be at home. I'm looking forward to going back, but I haven't.
The surround sound, something like, yeah, like the, some the sound. Film is meant to be, not that Old is like a film, you know, it's just it's a
blockbuster. Old's
movie.
A film. It's a film in that film. In that you they do it in the best way they can. When I say they, I mean like the production of the movie, in order to make it make as much sense as possible.
So you like
because
that?
It is like kids growing up, like everyone's aging. I believe it's like, the spoiler alert, it's like you age 2 years every hour or something. But the way they move the camera around, and it's a goofy movie. It's laugh out loud, like this is ridiculous. But to age the kids up was the way they moved the camera around. I was like, this is the best they could have done with this story. I didn't love it. I enjoyed parts of it, but it was more kind of just like, let's go and see a movie and have a good time than anything else. That I enjoyed that experience of like breaking that seal, if you know what I mean.
How was your Steelers experience? How was your NFL game day experience? You ordered the fried chicken.
I ordered fried chicken.
We were all excited. The Steelers had a shockingly good victory. Like, were
you
able to watch those Steelers game?
I couldn't watch it. I didn't have Red Zone. I can't get Red Zone on the way my package works. I can't get Red Zone like I did last year or the year before. But I watched a couple of games and then just had the game, the ESPN's, what do you call it? When you can like watch it in real time, but not, you're not watching the game. You're just seeing what happens play by play. What do they call it?
This is great podcasting. I don't know. What are you talking about on ESPN?
I fucking tell you, ESPN.com.
You can go the Gamecast. You were just watching it on the internet. Yeah, the Gamecast, yeah, type of thing. You weren't actually
Gamecast.
Watching the game.
Gamecast.
I mean, how you are? You're Anthony Jeselnik. You can't get the NFL package. Figure it out. Like,
we've talked about
it.
This. Where my cable right, is like, I can't right. go to my cable with my remote control, so I have to watch everything on apps. The NFL app sucks dick. I could not get it there. So I just watched the regular games and followed along and was very happy with the outcome, very surprised. It doesn't give me a lot of optimism for the season. We've got a very tough schedule, and I think it's going to get harder, but I'm glad we won that one for sure. I'm glad the Patriots lost. I'm glad the Browns lost. Like, that's like I now get like more pleasure from watching teams I don't like lose than I do from watching my team win. But I think it's going to be an interesting season. I don't have a lot of faith. If we make the playoffs, I would be ecstatic. That would be like a Super Bowl win for me. It's just making the playoffs this year in my division.
Be a storybook, comeback from Ben Roethlisberger. You know, seeing good things just happen to good people. How do you feel seeing Antonio Brown do so well now again?
I don't care. He's dead to me. But I do like Chris Collinsworth getting in trouble for saying he had some off the field issues and not getting into all the shit that he actually did. I think is funny. But again, if Ben Roethlisberger does not end the season crying on the bench while Cleveland celebrates, I will be happy that he can walk off into the sunset at that point.
I mean, that's pretty par for the course with it. You know, off the field issues covering things. I'm amazed how even like news, you know, breakers and things like that have handled the Deshaun Watson story and how bad everyone is to talk about it. It'll make you a little cynical, you know, cynical.
But how amazing would it have been if Chris Collinsworth was like, he masturbated on the back of a woman who was praying and watching church on his iPad. Like, wouldn't that have been incredible? Like, he full on ejaculated while she was watching a church service. That would have been the best.
I mean, that was one of many things. There was the time, remember, he had a problem with the moving, got in a fight with like the moving van guy. He had
that's not a big deal. Everyone who's ever had a mover move their stuff has gotten in a physical altercation with the mover. That's not a big deal.
Remember the people that sued him for throwing stuff off the balcony of his apartment that uh-huh. almost hit him? That was another
that's
one.
Normal.
But there are some worse ones. There's some worse ones.
Nothing beats, hey, watch this church service on my iPad while I stand behind you. Ugh. And then a surprise. Nothing beats that. That was the boot on the neck. I love it.
It's a great game, though. It's a great sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great sport.
Mm-hmm. The people's game. The people's game. So, Erica, you were 9 years old on 9/11?
20 years. I'm 29. Yeah. Nine.
Yeah, I had a friend who...
Maybe 10,
I have a friend,
turning 30. No, 9.
I have a friend who lives in Connecticut, or grew up in Connecticut, and was a child during 9/11, and said that, like, kids just started getting taken home from school. Like, mm-hmm. parents were coming and getting everybody, and they were like, why have I not been taken out? Like, the teachers weren't telling anyone anything. But you're in Connecticut, you know people who have died. So they're just, like, pulling kids out left and right. that I thought that was an interesting way to experience it, not just trying to sleep in.
Yeah, I think only like two kids got pulled out of my class. And then I think parents started pulling their kids like as the day went on because they were like, we're going to get attacked all over the place, essentially.
Yes.
It is a recurring, you know, question, especially as now my kids get older, of like, what do you tell your kids when not just, you know, world events are happening, but life events? Like, it is a very tricky question because I am of the mind of just like, tell them everything, which, you know, for the most part, you know, you can tell them it in certain ways. Like, you know, we've talked on this show, I've had, you know, two different friends die this year, and like, I will mention that in front of them. And I think there's, so that they know, so that it's not like a, I don't know, something that is shameful or that you don't talk about. But there's a million, you know, most parents, I feel like there's an other ways to go, and then maybe that's not a good idea.
I kind of agree with that. I remember sitting down with your kids and explaining the Antonio Brown controversy to them, and talking about like when I gave Ellis her iPad.
That's where the line is.
I was like, Ellis, you're getting this iPad. Let me explain what Antonio Brown does with this. And she was confused, but it was okay. That I think you tell your kids about 9/11, and you know, you're just like, hey, you know, Bush did it. And now it's time for, did we get any notes? That was some 9/11 music right there. Let's roll. We did get one note. One of our advertisers got the boot. All Things Comedy kicked him right out. We're like, we don't care what you guys think. We're getting rid of a whole advertiser going forward. And I like that. Greg was happy. Erica didn't really care. But that's it. That's the only note. One of our advertisers just kicked out for being, I don't know if it's immoral is the word, or problematic. They didn't really get into details of why they got rid of them, but
it's a lot of speculation of by you, you know. Here, who knows?
Why else would you be like, I don't want your money? Then,
if they were late on paying, that was my first guess, was that they didn't get the money. You know,
no way. That couldn't be what it is. It was like lawyers said we shouldn't be doing this, and I'm all for that. I like the advertisers we have now. You know what I'm saying? I like Fight Camp. I like Paint Your Life. I like the ones that are on the morally on the up and up. The advertisers who were against 9/11. Not like the advertiser we got rid of who was like celebrating that day the way Donald Trump was for having the tallest building. I think that that we have the advertisers that we want now. We have the advertisers that we need in this troubling time. Are you guys going to vote tomorrow?
Why do you have veins coming out of... like veins are popping in your forehead as you're being like, we have the advertisers we need. Like, I've never seen Jesselnik so intense.
I get intense about advertising. Everyone knows that. Are you guys going to vote tomorrow?
I voted like the day I got it in the mail. I sent it back like a day or two later. I did not want to mess around with this nonsense going on in California and put it right back in one of those boxes.
How'd you vote? You don't have to tell us, but you can.
I didn't vote for Caitlyn Jenner, if that's what you're getting at.
Didn't?
Angeline.
Larry Elder. I voted no. I mean, it's a little late to influence the listeners. It'll already have happened. But I do like seeing like the tweets from celebrities from the out of state, like in the last day or two, like imploring Californians like what to do. I don't know. It just for some reason it bothers me. That bothers me. Plus, everyone already sent it back. Most everyone already sent it back if they're gone.
Yeah, I'm going in person tomorrow. I don't do the mail. It freaks me out. But I'm doing in person tomorrow, and I'm voting no. It's like regardless of your politics. I don't care if he's like a good governor or a bad governor. You don't get to do this. You don't get to just fucking be like, oh, we're gonna do an election now, as opposed to in 2 years from now, whenever. Fuck that. Fuck you. Fuck you, politicians. You caused 9/11. You did this to us.
I don't care if you went
to a restaurant. Everyone's mad that you went to a restaurant during COVID. Yeah, I'm voting no and walking out of there. But if Angeline wins, will I celebrate? Of course. Angeline.
I don't like the countries where like you can get like a new leader every 6 months, like if you start to get into a big losing streak. Like that happened in Japan where just like people just kept, you know, they kept flipping. They kept flipping. They were in like a bad streak. It's like a baseball team that gets a bad manager and like the owner just like keeps firing them. Like we don't want to be that.
I feel like you don't want to be like Japan.
Could do that. Not in that way where you're just like in this losing streak where you're just changing your leader every year or so just because things aren't going well.
I don't like criticizing Japan on this podcast. Greatest pilots of all time. Greatest Air Force in the world. Historically. They got it done. And that was. Did we get any notes?
Venden sus almas, luego andan de culo, llorando en el Instagram como putos.
That's my jam. Thank you, Erica, for playing my jam. Welcome. Now, it's time for a place where it's always 9/11. It's Erica's Corner. Erica Tamposi is our producer. She was 9 during 9/11, which makes her 11 now. And we like to let her carve out a little bit of this podcast to promote her own podcast, The Broadcast, which is on all Check things comedy out. And is making waves in the podcast community. People can't believe how good it is. She recommends Mustard, and we like to let her kind of take some time to carve out a little portion of herself and either ask us a viewer email or play a game. But it's almost always, I would say 99% of the time, a viewer email. So, definitely. Erica, what's our game this week?
Okay, so the game this week is from John. My wife, Katie, and her father told me that their favorite bodily function is sneezing. They claim sneezing feels incredible, and they relish each and every one. I don't give a fuck about sneezing. Hurts sometimes. Couldn't care less. Is this common? Do people enjoy sneezing? I prefer the relief of a simple pee, but now I feel like I'm missing out on some great release sneezing might offer. Is my wife crazy?
Greg, do you want to tackle this first? I've got a lot of opinions on this one.
I mean, yeah, she's crazy. I mean, anyone that enjoys...
Nuts. She's fucking bonkers.
I mean, that's your take. I mean, like anyone that enjoys that, like he makes it sound like it's like orgasmic for them, that they almost like pat, you know, they try Better to save up their sneezes. Right. That's true. Cause that's a bodily function. Like they save up their sneezes to try to do a bunch all at once, just so they can like get off on it in a corner, like junkies or something. I don't know what's going on.
Listen, I was just scratching the surface by saying she's bonkers. Okay. For your family, for an entire family to have a favorite bodily function is beyond. It's beyond. Because I know, like, listen, in my family, I know the Rosenthal family very well. Greg, your mom emailed me a story about a dog that I appreciated. I went back and forth with your mom a little bit. In the Rosenthal family, the Jeselnik family, the favorite bodily function is the orgasm. We talk about it all the time. You got to have a favorite. You're Christmas, you're around the tree. Easter, you're around the Christmas tree that's still up. We talk about orgasms and how they're our favorites. If your family is just like, we love sneezing. In this family, listen, you're the boyfriend now. If you get into this family, you're going to love sneezing as much as we do. You're fucking nuts. And this guy saying that it hurts sometimes, what the fuck is that? Sneezing never hurts. Sneezing never hurts. It should not. Unless you like tape your face up and sneeze, it should not hurt. So I think the family's nuts. I think you got to get out of there. And I think that you're weird for saying that sneezing hurts.
Yeah, go see a doctor. I mean, say, hey, my sneezing hurts. That's not true for anyone else. Unless you've been sneezing like nonstop and like blowing your nose, I guess, while you were sick. But even then, that wouldn't be sneezing hurting. That would just be blowing your nose is sore. So go see a doctor. Your nose is fucked.
Yeah. I mean, sneezing is not unpleasant. You don't hate it, but it's not like, oh, I got one coming up. I can't wait.
When you got to get rid of one.
Peeing is great. Peeing is great. Pooping is fine. I try not to do it. I try to hold in my poops as long as I can, like a lot of people, because that hurts to me. But I think sneezing is just a thing that happens sometimes, and it's fine. But if your family, if your friend's family is all about it, that they like talk about it and they're like, oh, hey, I got some pepper. Let's throw it in our noses and have a great time. You're fucking weird. You're all fucking weird. Oh, allergy season's coming up. I can't wait. I can't wait to just relish this. Then you're weird. Get rid of your girlfriend. Get rid of her.
Wife.
Killer family. Wife. Wife.
Yeah, it's
his that's wife. A divorce situation. You got to divorce, John. You got to divorce Katie and tell her family is weird and that orgasms are the way to go. Everyone knows
just,
that.
Does he like bring like little, I don't know, pepper or some sort of catnip thing? And they like just sprinkle it around the table every now and then if they just want to like have a great dinner and sneeze like crazy.
That was Greg repackaging a joke I just told.
I would
ask the family, like, how do you rank the bodily functions? If sneezing's number one, what's number two? You know what I mean? Is it orgasm? Because orgasm should be number one. And I would go to the family. I would go to the family and show them your orgasm so that they know. So that they know that there's something better than sneezing.
Well, I thought also sneezing is dangerous. I checked because there's always these articles. It's like, you know, more people die by sneezing while driving their car than X amount of disease, you know, certain sort of diseases. Like sneezing is a crazy thing that happened. It's like a momentary blackout, and like people crash their cars and like mess up their lives all the time from the wrongly timed sneeze.
You know, people do like, people do crash their car from sneezing. Way more people die from orgasming behind the wheel. You will die. Like if you like, listen, you're driving, you're bored. You wanna rip one out. You're gonna die. So listen, just get a chauffeur, sit in the back seat and do whatever you want. That's my take on this.
I've got a different answer.
Sit in the back
though.
Seat and do whatever you want.
I guess this is not a. Now I realize it's not a bodily function, but it still feels like it's somehow in the same ballpark. And my favorite would be cracking your knee at night, just like popping it. That feeling of like popping your knee. I used to do it with my wrists, but now I stopped because that's just like.
What do you mean popping? I don't know what you're talking. I don't like crack my knees at night.
Yeah, it's like
sounds like
you need a doctor.
Wrong.
Yeah, it's like cracking your knuckles, except like you're cracking
your knee.
Yeah, like when I'm old, I won't be able to walk anymore. But the sweet, sweet feeling at like 4 a.m. of just like sort of poop, you know, pop. That feels good.
That was a little look into Greg's sex life. Nothing better than laying in bed with your wife and cracking your knee. I've never cracked my knee ever.
Ever.
I've cracked ankles. You know, moving ankles around.
Yeah,
I did Pilates
it's like that.
Today. Cracked an ankle. Cracking my wrists feels good. I'm not a knuckle cracker. I can't really do it. But knees, that shouldn't happen.
No, I had to stop. Like, you know, I used to just always crack my knuckles and stuff as a kid, and then I realized it's gonna be bad for you. But I can't quit the knee. Just a nice, you know. I just pop my knee there at least 3 or 4 times a night. Just a nice little pop.
I would love to just meet a family who tried to convince me that sneezing was the best. That sneezing was the best bodily function, because I would go fucking ham. I would lose my goddamn mind and then show them what the real bodily function is. I would show them.
I like the email, though. I mean, we need great. A little more emails, more emails like this that are original, that tell us of your weird families, that bring us something we haven't heard before.
Yeah, I forget what the other email was. Erica gave us 2, and I was like, I don't want to do the first one. But this one, which is bonk shit, I'm going to go ahead and say. I'm going to use the word, the 9/11 of words. Get rid of her. I don't know if you have kids or not. But you don't want to raise a family in that kind of environment where they think sneezing is the shit. It's orgasms. It's orgasms. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond. That was me sneezing. Did you guys get my acting skills?
Yeah.
I'm so good. And now it's time for
ad copy.
Oh, Rosenthal. Yeah. It's the Modern Finance Podcast. It's the crypto show for the novice and the expert alike.
I'm listening to it right now.
Don't do that. It's hard to listen to a podcast and do a podcast at the same time. But if you listen to Modern Finance, hosted by Kevin Rose, you can learn all about crypto. You can learn all about Bitcoins, NFT, robo-investors, all the sort of developments in modern finance that maybe you don't feel like you totally understand. But Kevin Rose, who was listed as a top 25 angel investor by Bloomberg and one of the top 25 most influential people on the web by Time Magazine, is your host, and he's going to help you out. Top 25 most influential people on the entire internet. I mean, isn't everyone in the world on the internet? So he's the
sneezing of podcasts.
True Ventures partner Kevin Rose interviews top tech experts and entrepreneurs exploring modern finance tools, helping others understand crypto, NFTs, and even traditional finance hacks. So, you know, he's aiming for people like my dad, who were financial analysts, kind of at those old school Merrill Lynch type of places. Kevin Rose is the new. He's the new guy on the block. Don't let your crypto guy friend.
He replaced your dad. He's your new dad.
Don't let the crypto guy friend be the life of the party. Because if I know one thing about crypto guys, they're the life of the party.
Do not do that. Do not let him win when you're at the party.
I wish I listened to the crypto guy friend at like my kid's preschool like 6 years ago. He's like, hey, you should start coming to these meetings. Guess what? He's a billionaire right now. He probably listens to Modern Finance. By listening, you'll feel well-equipped to discuss and understand the crypto and NFT landscape. 10 years ago, some people called it a scam. 5 years ago, people thought it was a fad. Now it's a trillion-dollar market and growing. The financial landscape is harder than ever to navigate, but you don't have to do it alone. Download and subscribe to Modern Finance wherever you listen to podcasts. That's Modern Finance wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't be the last person on the next train out. Listen to Modern Finance and get ahead of the future of finance.
You're going to be your so life cool is at back. Parties.
That's the big sell. Be cool at parties. You can tell them about the Modern Finance podcast, and then you can tell them about that sweet, sweet painting you got from paintyourlife.com. This is where we all ordered one painting. We all got this beautiful hand painted.
Stop turning away from the mic when you're doing.
I just can't help looking at it. What a great idea for a gift it is for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings. You figure like it would be expensive, but it is not expensive. It is very affordable, Anthony.
And let me tell you again, once again, like I used this. I gave it to my brother for a housewarming gift. It's perfect because they keep checking in with you. You send them the photo. They say, here's how it'll look good. Here's what we can do to make it look good. How about this? How about that? That if I had to like just choose myself, I would blow it. But they keep checking in with you knowing that you're an idiot like me and giving you the best possible painting that Paint Your Life is the only life painting that I will even get involved with.
Yeah, you send any picture. It could be yourself, your children, family,
a
special place, someone you love, a dead
could
turtle, a cherished pet, you sneezing. It could be like a famous wrestler. That's what Anthony got. I don't know if they don't seem to like advertise doing stuff like that, but Anthony got it done, and you can get it in as little as 2 weeks. As Anthony said, it's custom made. You work with an artist who does all the details with you. At Paint Your Life, there's no risk. If you don't love your final painting, your money is refunded, guaranteed. As of right now, a limited time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word VANITY to 64000. That's VANITY to 64000, 64000. Text VANITY to 64000. Paint Your Life, celebrate the moments that matter most. Terms apply, available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Again, text VANITY to 64000.
Be the cool guy at the party. Paint Your Life. 64000. JRVP. And that was...
ad copy.
Let's get to headlines.
He's a horny clamore.
What the fuck?
Yeah, this is these little interludes getting weirder and weirder. Not sure what's up with them. Let's go start in Utah. Love Utah. You know, one of my former producers, who Erica knows, Sydney Carlson, just got engaged in Utah. But this isn't a story about her.
Interesting, bearing the lead.
Yeah, this isn't a story about her. It's about a Utah woman who's mad. And when a Utah woman gets mad, we're gonna cover it. She was duped by a scammer who was claiming to be a Redken beauty agent, who called her on the telephone and told her that if she shaved her head and her eyebrows, she would get a few thousand dollars. And so she did it, and she didn't get that money. You know, the person disappeared. Yeah. What kind of scam is this? I don't understand this at all.
You've covered everything. When Erica sent me the headlines, I looked at this and was like, Utah woman loses her dignity and hair and phone scam. I was like, I'm going to ignore this. And then I went back and looked at the article, and it is a treasure trove. First of all, if you're a model living in Utah, you're not a model. Okay? You might be pretty. You might get your picture taken sometimes for money. You're not a model living in Salt Lake City. Secondly, if you are a model, you have some people around you who help you get jobs and do different stuff. This is just a pretty girl who is very, very dumb. Because if you like, hey, my manager, these people, someone texted me blind and told me to shave my head and eyebrows for some money. What do you think? They would have said, no, don't do that. There was never a phone call. There was never like a Zoom meeting. It was just someone texted her and said, shave your head and eyebrows and I'll give you a couple grand. And then she was like, done. Like, don't say no more. I don't need a second text. I'm going to do this and then take a picture and then never heard from them again. That the idea of a scam where they don't ask you for any money is hilarious.
Because this guy, it's not a scam. It's a prank phone call.
It's a prank text. Because a scam is like, give me some money, give me a couple grand, and then shave your head, and then we're all even. Like, that would be okay. This guy is just fucking with her and got her to shave her head, where he gets nothing out of this other than the pleasure of knowing he did it, which is amazing. The fact that she would want to publicize this and tell people that she got fooled by a text saying shave your head and eyebrows. You would think the eyebrows would give her pause. You would think the eyebrows would be like, really? That too? On a model? I don't know what they were saying it was for or what was up, but she is D-U-M-B dumb.
You really hit that B in the dumb. Yeah, when she first received the text, she said that she and her husband, she is married, tried to verify the number. And that,
yes.
First of all, I don't believe this. And she said it was registered to Redken, but they're saying it was probably like some sort of phone trick used to mimic numbers for caller ID. I don't believe that. I don't believe that she did any stuff ahead of time. I think she's covering up because they had the videos on the website. You know, the joy was that whoever texted her and tricked her into doing this got her to send her own self. Made videos of her shaving her eyebrows and hair off. And so you can watch the videos in which she's pretty happy. She's just like, well, this is a little crazy, but I'm going to shave my eyebrows. And it's just like, it's like the before picture, you know, to what is going to end up happening. Like, I'm just so confused. Like, what did you think Redken was getting out of this? Mm-hmm. What did you think the Redken line of beauty products were getting out of this? What did the scammer get out of this? Like, I'm so confused about all of it. Why are we even talking about this? What is happening?
The scammer could not believe it worked. She must have sent him directly the videos, or maybe posted them on her account or whatever.
No, yeah, she sent it to him.
She was going to get the money. But I like that it says that she shaved her head, but didn't like bick it, just like shaved
it.
Buzzed it. And then that wasn't enough. They were like, you know what? If you really want the money, you gotta straight up shave it. And then she did that too. Like, you are so, so stupid. Like, what beauty campaign would make you do this? And again, texting. This is a scam for sure. Okay? Send them Google Play cards because you are getting scammed. You were getting scammed. If they're not calling you on the phone, if someone's not like, hey, I'm from Redken and we have this new campaign, let me explain it to you so you don't feel weird. It was literally the bare minimum of effort to get a woman to shave her head and eyebrows and shave her head twice, to be quite honest. And now she's like, I don't want, and I love that she's like, I don't want other people to fall for this. No one else would fall for this. I can't imagine a child would not fall for this. Nobody would. I get texts all the time saying shave your head and eyebrows, and I never listen. I never pay attention. I block them. I block them all. It's not something that's happening in the world. There aren't like multiple people. It was just like somebody. It was like an ex-boyfriend from high school who thought, this woman is so fucking dumb. Let me see if I can get her. And he got her with the minimal effort. He used his thumb to make her shave her head and eyebrows. Her husband is furious. Her husband wishes she was just one of those women who thought sneezing was the shit.
I think it was like a 14-year-old boy or something who just tried, like it was a 14-year-old boy who tried a million other phone numbers, and then they got the first video back, and he like goes to his buddies like, you think we should ask her to do the full bic? And they're like, yeah, let's go for it. And then they send the next text back.
I don't think about the people that he went to first. I assume it's a he. You know what? It very, very well could be a woman. A woman could have been the scammer, because that seems like a woman thing to do, is to humiliate you at your like base level and get you to shave your head and eyebrows. It's something that if Erica just started shaving her head and eyebrows right now, I wouldn't be surprised. It's like that kind of person that you can get, that he must have asked 100 people, and then he finally got one, and he's thrilled by this. He's thrilled. I hope her hair never grows back. Never.
I'm just looking forward to Redken's October ad campaign. Like, everyone shave your head and eyebrows. that's what's next for Redken. Hey, women around the country, it's time to shave your eyebrows. What?
Redken should use her. They should pay her as a model to be in commercials and be like, don't be a fucking idiot, use Redken. That would be the best ad campaign of all time.
This is why I couldn't be a comedian. Because I started laughing at my stupid joke about the ad campaign halfway through it, but I stand by it. It's funny. It's funny. October. Shave your eyebrows month.
why are you still going?
The listeners love it. I can feel their energy coming through the AirPods right now. They're finding this hilarious.
I wish I worked at Redken. I would burst in the boardroom and be like, "Hey Redken, listen up. You know what's not cool? Having hair and eyebrows. You know what is cool? Cancer." Redken. That would be the best.
That's all I got.
Shave them. Shave them now. That's my jam. That is my jam.
Our next story is about a few Minnesota teenagers who decided to give back to the community in a meaningful way. Security cameras caught two 17-year-old girls kissing and twerking on an elderly dementia patient in a hospital they worked in.
Okay. What other information do you have on this? Because I read the headline and that was it.
They were both employees, two 17-year-old girls who worked.
Not volunteers, they were employees.
Employees, had worked there almost a year at Johnson Memorial Hospital in Minnesota, I think Minneapolis. They're now facing criminal charges. The police said a security camera caught, the girls, like we said, kind of twerking on an elderly dementia patient that I don't think had a ton of, like, you know, movement. They appeared to be like taping some of it, maybe, you know, for social media or just like making videos and laughing.
Yeah.
They were twerking. Yeah. They didn't find I think it was just their own pride. You know, I don't think they put it on social media, but they were just doing it privately.
They're doing it for themselves.
Yeah. They were twerking. At one point they kissed the patient on the lips. I think it was an older woman. They said the girls also, one of the girls pulled up her shirt over her bra in front of the resident as the other shot foam balls at her with the toy gun, hitting her in the head. I don't know. They got crazy. Sometimes you just want to like twerk and you know, shoot foam balls at an elderly patient.
You can't have one without the other. Here's my question. Why is anyone mad about this or getting charged? Why is this even a thing? This hospital must be getting so many more patients. If I was going senile and I was old and it was like, hey, we've got this hospital that like does all this stuff, and then we've got the ones where teenagers come and twerk on you and kiss you, I'd want to go to the twerking hospital. That's where I'd want to go. There's no way this guy's mad. There's no way. When he dies and goes to heaven and is no longer senile, he'll be looking down being like, thank God for those girls. Who could possibly be upset? This is the best thing that's happened to this guy, in theory.
The family found out about it.
I'm appalled by it.
Why? Why would you be mad? He got extra. He doesn't get exercise. He's just sitting there all the time. They have to like force feed him. And he got some from two teenage girls. I think this is a no-brainer of like a no one's upset. No one's upset. They should be given a raise, and they should have to twerk and flash and kiss all the other patients in the hospital. If you're working there for a year, like imagine, Greg. Imagine, Erica. You're working in a hospital for old people with dementia, okay? The fact that they waited an entire year to do this is amazing. Because I would think first day in, that's what you want to do. You see an old, elderly patient with dementia and you don't twerk on them, something's wrong with you. You're missing a part of your heart, okay? You're missing a ventricle.
They called it abuse. They said abusing the patient. It was a woman. I did point that out earlier. It was a female old person.
Yeah,
it was an elderly woman, yeah.
Okay, that's a little bit different, but not that much.
Why is that different?
I still got to think, because an old guy man sitting there doing nothing, having two teenagers come in and twerk on him. Everyone's happy with this. Everyone. The girls are weird. Like sneezing's the best weird, but the guy would have been thrilled. The woman is maybe rolled her eyes, maybe a little annoyed or confused by what's going on, but still it's a good thing. They did a service. They should be rewarded and not punished.
They definitely should be known for this. It's like, hey, we got Johnson Hospital here, or you could go to St. Catherine's down the block with like, you know, 200% less twerking. With
again,
way more
same
COVID.
Joke I made. Way same more joke COVID. I made earlier. You just remembered it and then waited for your chance to say it again, which is weird. But no, I think these girls are cool. I would like to see them having the conversation of should we do this? Because they did it together. It wasn't just one girl being like, I'm bored, I'm going to do this. Imagine how horned up those girls were to do this to an old woman with dementia. I think it's amazing. I think they're doing a public service, and I think that I would want to go to that hospital if I was an old woman.
The woman has has died since.
How old is this story? Did she die like right away? Was it like right afterwards?
They just got charged for it. It was in the courts for like a year, and in the year since, she has died to unrelated, you know, causes. I like that they said that she died, you know, in an unrelated, like the twerking didn't kill her. She died for an unrelated reason.
If she died from getting twerked on, that would be unbelievable. And even then, she'd have no argument. She'd still be like, that was the best. That was the best way to die. I wonder what her funeral was like. I wonder if there was twerking at the funeral. You know, there was definitely some jokes made. This sounds like a family member being like, let me try to get some money out of these people. But teenage girls, if they were like older nurses, if they were in their 30s or 40s, then it's like, this is fucked up. They're making fun of you. This is two teenage girls giving you a gift before you die. Maybe they knew.
Spring
Maybe
breakers.
They knew that she was going to die.
This is
die
some
at
Spring
some point.
Breaker shit. This is going to be like, it's going to be James Franco's, you know, big comeback. You know, it sounds like something that someone in Hollywood like would see the story and like try to make it into like some sort of dark comedy.
They've made it into like 8 movies. Bad right. Grandpa, whatever the fuck. Like they've made it into things like this, where this is just the start of something special. you know, that I think that I can't believe they're being charged. What are they being charged with?
Abuse. I don't know what that means.
Elderly
exactly.
abuse?
Exactly.
Please. Elderly abuse is like chaining them up in the basement or some shit. We're not feeding them. Twerking on them? Showing them your boobies under the bra? I think it's cool.
Abusing Please. A vulnerable adult. Yeah, I think they kept the bra. They just lifted up the shirt. The fact that they lifted up the shirt literally as the other one was shooting the elderly woman with the foam ball. So no one's, there's as far as I know, there's only two. One's lifting it up and one's, you know, shooting the Nerf gun. So there's no camera. They're just doing that for the love of the sport. Like, that was not for Instagram. That was just like, hey, why don't we combine the foam ball thing and the lifting up the shirt thing and do it at once?
And I'll tell you right now, two teen girls so working at an so old folks random. Home. Two teen girls working in an old folks home for over a year, they're always smoking hot. Smoking hot. That's how you get a job like that. That I got no problem with this.
That's how you get a job like that? I mean, I think you get a job like that. They're hiring. They're all available. Everyone needs workers. Everyone, you know, they're hiring.
No. Have you ever tried to get a job at an old folks home, Erica?
No, I haven't.
No? If you do, you know what they say? They say, send us a picture. That's it. That's the beginning and the end of the interview. I'm giving these guys the Jessel McPass.
Is that a thing? Mm-hmm. Is that like listener of the week or what is that?
Kind of. I mean, it's in the same category, but it's the Jessel McPass where I think this will hold up in court and they'll be fine. I can't wait. I would love to see the video and have them show that in court and be like, look what they're doing to this person, and have everyone get up and just start clapping and be like, thank you for your service. 9/11. Ahora andamos mosa ahí. Erica, why were you so uncomfortable during that last story?
Because it's horrible. It makes me
so
sad.
Yeah, of all the stories, though, that was the one.
It just, there's something about, like, elderly people, especially with dementia, that, like, can't speak or, you know,
make
their own choices.
It's a horrible way to be. But if someone comes and twerks on you, then, like, great.
Right. Like, you're totally fine with, like, all the kids getting murdered stories.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Best case scenario is getting twerked on.
All right, a Mexican rapper named...
I'm glad she's dead.
Dan Sir. His name, once again, is a Mexican rapper. His name is Dan Sir, or Don Sir, you know, spelled Dan and then S-U-R.
I'm going to assume it's Dancer.
Yeah. He's changed the game. He's changed the damn game, Anthony, by getting gold chains surgically implanted into his skull to make them look like dreadlocks.
Now, I saw the story. I saw the picture. And then before we recorded the podcast, Erica sent us the wrong link. Erica sent, it was like, here's the link. I'll be right back. And it was the YouTube link to this guy's latest video since he's gotten the change put in. So I got to watch that. This seems like a world-class bad idea. Like, who was the guy who had the diamond implanted in his head? Where, like, a week or two ago, it got ripped out?
Little Uzi Vert.
Oh.
Yeah, Little Uzi Vert.
I only know that from reading about this story. I'm not.
Yeah, that was a big story.
Yeah.
Because when he got the diamond implanted, everyone's like, that's a dumb idea, and you might die. And then he said he got ripped out. I believe that he had it taken out and just claimed it got ripped out because he still has the diamond. If you lose the diamond, I believe maybe it got ripped out while you were crowd surfing. But if you still have it, I believe that you just were like, this was dumb. I'm taking it out. I'm keeping the diamond. But to get gold chains implanted in your skull, I mean, there's a lot of them. And one of them is getting ripped out at some point, for sure. Even if you, like, it's like if you're in the NFL and you have dreadlocks and someone grabs your dreadlock to pull you down, that's legal. You're allowed to grab the hair. And people get dreadlocks ripped out all the time. That sounds awful. But to have chains put in your head, it doesn't look cool. He doesn't part it. Like, when I saw the picture, they're, like, in front of his face. And you're like, oh, I guess that's, like, him showing them off. But in the video, they're in his face the entire time. Like, you never get to see his face. He's just gold chains down. And no one thinks that's cool. No one at all. And
no,
they're going to get ripped out.
It just feels like everywhere he goes is an invitation to rip his chains out. I mean, it's like, you know, there's nothing more disrespectful you can do than snatch the chain off someone.
Exactly.
Who everyone is going to want to be. And this guy seems like a guy who you would want to rip the chains out of his head. That is like the video seems like an advertisement to do that for the rest of his life. Do you want to listen to a little bit of it? I guess we have been.
Before we do that, I assume we have been. But I would think that like if your name
every time.
If your name is Dan Sir, people want to pull your hair for sure. When they see you out in public, they want to like grab something. But I would think that like he's got so many of them in his head that you would think I can grab one and he won't even notice. You know, you just like pick the best one and rip it out and run. This guy is getting fucking murdered. Someone's going to come and take all of them out of his head. I'm not a violent person, but if I saw him, I would do this to him. I would tear the things out of his head and run away with them.
I mean, that easy. It does happen in NFL games where guys get their dreadlocks ripped out, and it looks like it just makes me want to vomit. Like it looks like the most painful thing that could possibly happen. I mean, if you ripped this guy's chain dreadlock thing out, couldn't that like kill him or something? Like if you ripped a bunch out, just like brains are gonna start slipping out.
Yeah, your head's gonna bleed.
That's how it works. Everyone knows that.
I assume they're like drilled into the skull. Like it wouldn't just be under the skin because that's too easy to rip out. It's got to be in the skull that you could rip all of these out. And it's too tempting. It's too tempting to do that. He's begging for it. And I assume he's not that famous. Is he a big deal in Mexico?
He sounds like he's like a character that is annoying, but he does have 1.9 million followers on TikTok. Just doing a little background, it sounds like he's more known for being kind of like annoying and being like a stuntish guy, but he has built up a decent following. He was quoted saying, I have it as a hook that's implanted in my head, and that hook has hooks, and they're all hooked in my skull under the skin. This is my hair. Golden hair. The first rapper to have gold hair implanted in human history.
Ugh, it's disgusting.
Takeshi 6ix9ine got the number 69 tattooed all over his body, including like half of his face. And this guy, Dan Sir, makes Takeshi look reasonable. Like it's like, okay, like at least you can get this removed. Like this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. And they are for sure getting ripped out. They are for sure. If you wanted to be a rapper, like I don't know Dan Sir's music that well other than what I've heard here, and it's not my thing. But if you were like, I'm a rapper, and I'm like, oh, what kind of rap do you do? He's like, oh, I've never rapped in my life, but I did tear the gold chains out of Dan Sir's head. I'd be like, give me your album. I'll buy it right now, and I'll put it on repeat because you are the JRVP listener of the week. If you rip his gold hair out, not the guy, not Dan Sir. Not Dan Sir, but the guy who rips his hair out, which I think next week we'll be telling the story of him getting his gold chains ripped out of his head.
Yeah, please for let sure. us know. Please let us know. And thanks to all the listeners who keep tweeting at us with stories. Start doing that to Erica, too. Just like you see
do.
A story that
oh,
you want do. Us to do on Headline. I know, but now
keep
I'm,
it
like,
up.
I'm formalizing it. It's helpful. You send some good ones. I don't think this one was one of them, but... But there, we got some good ones. We appreciate it. We might need to like get a special sound effect or something for the JRVP listener of the week. You know,
I'll even give a shout out to one of the people who DM'd me and gave me a story this week, which I think is a story coming up that we're about to tell. But the Candy Glitter at the Candy Glitter on Twitter has
You're
been sending me
now.
Stories. Most people can't DM me. I don't know how she got through, but we see them on either Reddit or on Twitter. People send us stories. We love
emails
it.
Too.
This one was easy. Yeah, emails. And what's the email, Erica? One more time.
JRVPJuniorVicePresident@gmail.com.
Yes, JRVPJuniorVicePresident@gmail.com. As soon as you rip out Dancer's hair, email us and let us know. Let us know and get his eyebrows. Get his eyebrows too. We're not fucking around. We want the hair and the eyebrows, and then you will be our JRVP listener of the year. And now it's time for
ad copy.
Hair loss. I mean, it's a problem.
can't write that.
It's a problem. If you have gold chains for hair and someone rips it out and you need to start regrowing your hair, keeps.
You see that? You see those gold chains receding a little bit? You got to get in on keeps.
You know, keeps can help you out. A simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. Like if you're just like losing it a little or you're reaching the age like myself, I'm 42, where it's like, it's probably coming. It's creeping back. You can get ahead of the game with Keeps. 2 out of 3 men will experience some form of hair loss by the time they're 35. More than 50 million men in the U.S. suffer from male pattern baldness. Keeps has a low cost with treatments starting at just $10 per month, and Keeps offers generic versions as discreet packaging. They have more 5-star reviews than any of their competitors. Prevention. That's the key. Like, if Dancer, the rapper in our previous story, like, he said he did it because other rappers, like, oh, they were all dyeing their hair to be cool, and he wanted to, like, take the next step. How about you just keep your hair? How about you just keep your hair with Keeps?
Keeps your hair. Keeps your hair. You could have just done that. Keeps your hair.
If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/JRVP to receive your first month of treatment for free. Treatments can take 4 to 6 months to see results, so act fast. That's keeps.com/JRVP to get your first month free. keeps.com/JRVP. And finally,
if you loses your hair, Keeps your hair.
Just free slogans from Draper mm-hmm. over here. Do you ever feel like you want to punch something?
It's a carousel.
What do you your household do to stay active? It's time to get some fight camp. It brings the boxing and kickboxing gym right to your home with full body workouts that you'll actually look forward to in a free standing punching bag that can take your hardest hits. I got it in my kitchen. If I just want to like get like a quick exercise, just start punching it in the kitchen. But of course you can go a little further than that. It's made for beginners to experienced boxers who you can you know, take these lessons and really learn how to become a boxer with all the special technology that they have, all the different types of teachers and instructors that they have. It has gear, including a freestanding punching bag, boxing gloves, quick hand wraps, and their unique punch tracking sensors that challenge you to hit a minimum amount of punches each round and allow you to track your boxing and kickboxing journey so you can see the progress that you're making. That's Walker's favorite part. He likes, you know, kind of with the sensors, tracking the numbers, and then seeing if he can beat the score. It's almost like a video game, you know, whether it's for kids or adults. You can pay for your fight camp over 24 months for less than the cost of a boxing gym and get it right away. Plus, fight camp offers free shipping with 30-day money-back guarantee. Just go to joinfightcamp.com/vanity to get free shipping on fight camp. joinfightcamp.com/vanity. joinfightcamp.com/vanity. It's Jesselnik's favorite way to get healthy.
I love it. I'm a big boxing fan, and I think that you never stop learning when it comes to boxing, that you can get on Fight Camp and just keep on learning every single time. You never perfect it. And if you're coming after Dan Sir, you better not miss. You know what I mean? You better fucking get Fight Camp and start training, and then you can come and get those chains. And then email jrvpjuniorvicepresident@gmail.com.
That's joinfightcamp.com/vanity.
And that was
ad copy.
What's our next headline, Greg? All right, our next headline was so good, came from Jesselnik himself. Or maybe this is the one that your friend on Twitter sent you. It's about a Maryland man who was sentenced to 7 to 10 years in prison recently after stabbing a woman in the butt with a syringe of his own semen while at a grocery store. Now that's a sentence. Am I right?
You are correct. You are 100% correct.
That's a lot.
Stabbing a woman at the grocery store with your own semen is like, it's the next best thing you can do besides sneezing. I don't know what's wrong with this guy. I've seen the video, and okay, the video is great. Because the woman just kind of like turns around and is like, what the fuck? Like, it's such a, like, a, it's a small thing, but she's like, what happened? And he has a quote, doesn't he? Doesn't he say something?
Yeah, he says, he goes up to the woman, and he says, I know, it feels like a bee sting, doesn't it?
Yeah, she turned around and screamed, and he's like, yeah, it feels like a bee sting, but it's just my semen. It's just my semen that I injected in your butt. This guy, and listen, talk about not knowing how babies work. This guy has no idea. This guy has no idea what he's doing. I don't know, like, the whole process of getting your semen into the syringe, getting the needle, walking in, being like, yeah, this is the one. I mean, I don't think he was very, like, meticulous in his decision to do this. He just got the first woman that he saw turning away from him in the grocery store. And it's hilarious, legitimately hilarious, that he chose to go to a grocery store to do this. He didn't go somewhere else. He didn't go to, like, a nightclub. He didn't go to a bar. He didn't just, like, wasn't out in the street. He was, like, the grocery store. This is where I have to inject a woman in the butt with my semen. Was it a dare? Did he lose his fantasy football league and this was his punishment? I don't know. But it sounds like it would check out. And this happened a while ago, but he just got sentenced to what again?
7 to 10 years in prison.
7 to 10 years. And they weren't just like, we have questions. Like, why? If it was like a syringe full of water, it would have been just as weird. Semen almost has nothing to do with it. I don't know. Was he an incel? Was he a proud boy? Like, what was his deal? Why did he think this was, like, the way to go?
I don't know. I was surprised when I saw the picture of him. And, you know, he looked like a 50-year-old guy who looked like he would be, like, a sad enough guy to do this. But for some reason, I was surprised. I don't know why, that the woman he injected in the butt was probably, like, a 60-year-old woman. You know, it was a woman older than him. And she was just like, what? Like you said, she turned around quickly. It wasn't like she got shot. She was just like, what? And she sort of started walking out. It's at the entrance to the grocery store, right where the security cameras are. Like, not the brightest guy. Doesn't seem to be planned out, like you said. He just, like, walked in, and that was the first person he saw. And she was just like, what just happened? She didn't even tell the police at the time. She just drove home, and then she, like, was telling her son about it. And he was like, you should tell, you know, she's like, yeah, it just hurts, but it's not too bad. He's like, you should tell someone
how
about
did they
this.
Know?
And then I guess they did tests on it and then figured out that she had been injected with semen. I don't know.
I can't even go to the grocery store now. I could just get crazy. People could just be injecting semen into my ass.
She's like, I told my son something's not
you
right.
Wish.
I hope nothing. She's like, I hope nothing happens, which again is probably someone who doesn't understand how babies are born.
No, but maybe like infections or like.
Sure. It's not healthy. It's not the way you do it. I bet he didn't sterilize the needle first. I bet he didn't do the thing with the alcohol rub on her butt before he just jabbed her with it. You're right about all of those things. But what was his end game?
Right. What's
what
the payoff?
What did he think was going to happen? What did he think was going to happen? If he was like, listen, I'm trying to make butt babies, then I'd be like, okay. She's a little old to have butt babies at this point in her life. Maybe get a woman in her 30s or 20s to have butt babies with. But if he was trying to have a butt baby with a 60-year-old woman, he was tracking her and found her in the grocery store and thought, this is my moment, that would make more sense than what happened. He just walked into a grocery store and was like, check this out. And he's not filming himself. It's the camera in the grocery store that filmed him that I love this, and I would love to hear him take the stand and say, here's what I was thinking. Here was my process, because it is bonk shit. And that's why he is our JRVP, Listener of the Week.
You can't give out two in 1 week.
I didn't.
I thought you gave it out to whoever. I guess that's a future one. Whoever
that's a future one
rips the chain off. I see.
That's a future one.
I thought it was
one,
more
Greg.
Like a.
We have one every week, and this is our JRVP Listener of this week. And if this guy somehow gets out of jail, takes out the chains from the guy's head, from Dancer's head, and injects him with semen in the butt, JRVP Listener of the Millennium. Okay.
I have to think, though, if he did it this time and he was so casual about it, like, he's done it before. I don't know, like, that. I don't know what the end game is still. I'm not exactly sure what he gets out of it, but I feel like he's probably injected a lot of semen in the butt or semen somewhere into people, and he just happened to have made the mistake of doing it, like, at the front of Vaughn's or whatever, you know. Like,
I'm going to disagree. I got to think this is the first time. I got to think this is the first time, and that they apprehended him, and I bet he told them it was semen. I don't know if she went to the hospital or she just called the grocery store and then they found the guy. But the idea of like going to the hospital and having them like in, like cut you open and find out what's in there is weird to me. That I would think that they talked to him and he was like, oh, it was just semen in a syringe that I was injecting into people.
Although seven to 10 years, you know, you hear a lot about how we've, you know, it's like the prison industrial complex. We've got like, you know, 20 times the amount of people in prisons than any other country per capita and everything. It feels like a long time. Feels like a long time for the state to be taking care of this guy.
That's a long time if you were caught smoking weed or you had like a bag of weed on you or some drugs or something. It's not that weird for someone who injected a woman's butt with semen in a grocery store. Okay? That's like, that's the worst thing you can do. I think if they were like, we're throwing away the key. Because this guy's prison time is not going to be fun. He's going to get injected with semen in his butt all the time. Because people are going to think it's funny. People are going to think it's a funny thing to do to this guy. For sure. I mean, if Dancer sneezes, one of the chains might come out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He can't headbang. In the video, he's keeping his head real fucking still. He's not throwing those chains around. He's not like, he's not dancing with those chains on. He's got to stand very, very still. What's the last headline?
Finally, a former Arizona cop allegedly pulled down a handcuffed man's pants and tased him in the genitals, all in front of his terrified wife and children.
Love this. Okay, listen, getting tased in the balls is bad. It's like the worst place you can get tased. But to be like, when I just read the headline, I didn't see anything about it. I didn't know the cop pulled his pants down and then did this. But the idea of being like, he tased me in the balls in front of my wife and kids is hilarious to me. You would think that being tased in the balls by a cop is enough to have a complaint. But to be like, my wife and kids don't respect me anymore. Is inherently funny. Is inherently hilarious that you would bring your wife and kids into it. You would think that you would be like, tell your wife and kids, you know what? Nothing happened. It's fine. The cop and I, we're cool. We're just messing around. We're joshing around. We're friends. But to be like, to lead with this, if I'm suing because you tased me in the balls in front of my wife and kids is so, so funny.
Well, why is it? It's not like it's a story. Because he's complaining about it. It's a story because the cop was suspended or, you know, fired, and there was a video of it. There's actually a video recording of him talking. Do you want me to, you know, give you the quotes here from him?
Please.
Yeah.
Please.
It's a little disturbing. But he said, keep fighting and you're going to get it again. You want it again? Shut your mouth. I'm done fucking around with you. And then he stuck the taser into the man's penis.
Into his penis or tased him in the balls?
It says it tased his penis. When it said genitals.
The headline says tased man in balls, which is a lie if he got him right in the penis. I don't know how good the aim is with the taser, but this guy must have been mouthing off for sure. This isn't like what cops lead with. I think they'd prefer to hit you in the chest or the stomach or something. But saying like, you tased me in the penis is enough to complain. It would be like saying like, he tased me in the penis on a Sunday. Like, that's what it sounds like when you say in front of my wife and kids. Like, it's got nothing to do with it. Maybe it's a little extra embarrassing, but why would you want that information out there? That I just think it's hilarious that that your wife and you're involving your wife and kids into this, because the kids have no idea what's happening. The wife probably doesn't really know until later on. But to be like, yeah, I'm suing this cop. He tased me in my junk in front of my wife and kids is hilarious.
Right, but it's sort of like a code, don't you think? Like, it's a policeman's code. It's kind of like a bro code. It's like a gentleman's code. When you are tasing someone in the penis, at least have the decency to do it away from the family. Like, take them a few feet away.
Excuse me, sir. Would you follow me?
Go around the corner, spare old Sparky, you know, the embarrassment of seeing Pops getting the old penis days.
Listen, so I got to do it, but I didn't want your wife and kids to see. Come with me. We're all good? We're cool? All right, good. Go back to your wife and kids and don't tell them what I did to you. Is great. And now it's time for
choo-choo
recommendation station. Greg, you know what I'm coming with? You know I'm coming with the fire.
I had a feeling
you couldn't get a hold of.
I was going to ask you if you were going book or something else, but since I know you're going book, a book that I haven't read yet, I'm going to flip it. I had a couple options, but I'm going to go with a documentary, a sports documentary called Untold: Breaking Point. But it's part of this series on Netflix of sports documentaries, which is called Untold. I've watched two of them. One that I'm recommending is about Marty Fish, this tennis player who once quit or, you know, didn't show up for a fourth round U.S. Open match because it was an anxiety attack. He was about to play Roger Federer. And it was sort of like a precursor of a lot of what people have talked about, Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka, except this was like 9 years ago. And he has kind of become an activist or advocate for mental health. But it was really fascinating. He was kind of like a lower level tennis player for much of his career and then became a top 10 guy and then was out of the game for 3 years, made a comeback. And it was really fascinating. I didn't know much about him, but it was really well done. And I think it was like an interesting look at mental health and almost like a thought of, to be a champion, do you need to be a little unbalanced? It sort of talked about those sort of questions without even saying that, like the desire to win at all costs, like, is that healthy? And another one of the series, which was also great, and I think we might have talked about this, Anthony, was the Malice at the Palace documentary, which was, it was part of the same series. I really enjoyed that one too. It was really well done about the brawl, back in Detroit with Ron Artest all those years ago, but kind of showing it through a 2021 lens where you're like, oh yeah, the entire media was pretty damn racist about all of that. And so both of those are really good. And they're both short too. They're like 70 minute docs. So they're not quite like a TV show, but not like a long documentary. They were both really interesting.
Yeah, I did not know about this new Untold. I've been watching them. I watched the Malice in the Palace one, which was exactly as you described it, fantastic, and gives you a different view of that, which everyone thought they knew the story. They do not. And I saw one about like one of the first female boxers.
Yeah.
Was a great one.
I didn't watch that one,
I love that one. I think that might be better even than Malice in the Palace, but I will check out this new one. What's it called again?
It's called Untold. This one's called Untold: Breaking Point. It's about this. He was a silver medalist in the Olympics, Marty Fish. It's done. It's directed by the guys who did Wild Wild Country. I don't know if they did all of these in this series, but they did this this doc about Marty Fish, Untold: Breaking Point.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Like listening to Naomi Osaka talk about how if she won, she was just relieved. And if she lost, she was devastated. That like that takes a toll on your mental health. That tennis players kind of face things that most sports athletes do not have to deal with. You know, you're not in a team. It's just you. Everything's up to you. You've been doing this your whole life from since you were a child, and it sounds brutal. That I would enjoy watching that. Erica, what do you have?
Yeah, so Halsey's new album, If I Can't Have Love, I Want Power, came out like 2 weeks ago. And her first, like, she does a lot of pop, like, singles and stuff, but she hasn't done an album in, like, a long, like, I want to say, like, 5-6 years, which was such a banger that her first album was, like, incredible. And I really love her as an artist. And this new one, she, like, describes it as industrial pop, like, mixed with Nine Inch Nails. Like, it's very different. It's not something you're gonna hear on the radio. Like, I think only one single sort of was on the charts for a little bit just because it randomly came out. So if you're like a Halsey fan, you'll like it, and if you're not a Halsey fan, I feel like you'll like it because it's very different than a lot of the stuff that she normally does.
Doesn't that
so
just
everyone will like it?
I think so. Yeah, it's badass. She's fucking awesome. Her songwriting ability is really, really great.
What's her hair like?
Right now, I think it's short. She just had a baby.
If you don't have chains in your head, I don't want to hear your music. I don't care. I'm recommending a book this week. Sally Rooney has been a big part of the podcast since the inception of Recommendation Station. She had a new book come out last week called Beautiful World, Where Are You? And if you like Sally Rooney and you liked her first two books, you will love this one. If you didn't like her, if you read it and found it to be... she's kind of divisive now because she's been so popular. And this book is kind of her dealing with her popularity in a way through these characters that I really enjoyed it. One character is a famous writer who got famous in her early 30s for a couple of books and then kind of has a breakdown and has to leave her friends. And then the other characters are her friends trying to deal with their lives. That it's very similar to, I think, Normal People and what's the other one? Conversations with friends. But it's just as good. I truly enjoyed it. And you can like feel the discipline in the writing. Like even if you don't like the book or the characters, you enjoy the writing of it so much. And I always love any novels about writers themselves. That I truly enjoyed the experience. Read it in a couple days and wish it was longer. So everyone should check out "Beautiful World, Where Are You?" by Sally Rooney. There's so much press about it right now and about her, but it's worth it. Believe the hype. It's great and a quick read, a fun read. I hope Sally Rooney writes a million novels. And that was
choo-choo
Recommendation Station. Debbie, change your hair and let me stab you with something.
Oh. Whoa, Nelly Furtado. That's a spicy meatball.
Yes, it is, Debbie.